Earth and Sky.
Hello, and welcome to Earth and Sky. I'm Lindsay Patterson. The Renewable Fuel Standard mandates that 7.5 billion gallons of renewable fuel be blended into the nation's fuel supply by the year 2012. That renewable energy will probably come from ethanol made of food crops, primarily corn. Earth and Sky spoke to Liz Marshall, an economist with the World Resources Institute in Washington, D.C. Marshall co-authored a study predicting negative environmental effects of a sudden growth in the corn ethanol industry. The problems are not inherent in biofuels, she said, but in agriculture itself. What effect is the renewable fuel standard having on the economy?
What it did was it sent a signal to people interested in producing ethanol that the government was also interested in the possibilities of this fuel. And so it sent a signal that the government was at least willing to look at the possibility of helping to create demand for it. What you're going to get out of ethanol, out of the ethanol industry, is corn ethanol, because it's really the only commercial technology that we have for producing ethanol at this point. So if you demand that ethanol be produced, what you're going to get out is corn ethanol, which means you stimulate the corn sector of the ag industry. There are environmental implications of that because corn is a very highly managed crop.
What do you mean? What kinds of environmental implications?
We end up seeing disproportionate increases in the amount of fertilizer applied, disproportionate increases in the amount of nitrogen runoff. We see increases in soil erosion because land is managed more intensively. And then we also see increases in agricultural greenhouse gas emissions.
But aren't those negative environmental effects balanced out with ethanol's benefits? Doesn't using ethanol help reduce emissions?
Ethanol currently is estimated to have only about a 13% reduction over its entire life cycle in greenhouse gas emissions. Is because to produce ethanol from corn, it requires process energy, the fermentation process, and that energy is in large part provided by natural gas and coal. So you're displacing petroleum demand, but you're replacing it in other portions of the life cycle of the fuel with other fossil fuel demand. So the greenhouse gas net benefit is much more moderate.
Is that just a problem that's inherent in ethanol?
My feeling on that is that what you're doing is exacerbating an existing problem in agriculture. It's not a problem that is inherent with biofuels. It is a problem that is inherent with agriculture. So it's a good argument in favor of sustainable ag. It's not necessarily an ironclad argument against biofuels. The way we look at it is if you want to put additional pressure on agriculture in order to produce a portion of the nation's fuel supply, then you need to fix agriculture in order to be able to do it. That the same problems that biofuels are creating or that have biofuels have the potential to create through their impacts on agriculture are the problems that the livestock industry creates through its impacts on agriculture and its demand for corn. In other words, these are existing problems with agriculture that need to be fixed. They are not unique to biofuels. So it's a really good argument, you know, yet another really good argument for best management practices in agriculture and trying to figure out ways to minimize agriculture's environmental impact, not just for the production of biofuels, but for the production of all of our ag products.
You've said that farmers are going to make a lot of money off of ethanol. Will that cause them to overlook the environmental impacts? How are those two things going to weigh out?
The farmers have very little incentive to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. They have much greater incentive to change field practices in order to preserve soil quality and to reduce nutrient application, that sort of thing. So there's always been a difficulty in trying to come up with the right set of incentives to get farmers to try new practices, which may ultimately be in their best interest, like precision nitrogen application, no-till agriculture. In some cases, those may actually increase returns to farmers, but what may be lacking is the sort of technical support that they need to feel comfortable trying new practices in an industry where really, you know, year to year, you can't take a lot of risks with your practices. You really can't afford to.
Are there other ethanol options besides corn ethanol?
What's on the horizon in terms of commercial technologies is cellulosic ethanol. Starch or grain-based ethanol, corn, which is predominantly produced through corn in the United States, is produced through fermentation of simple sugars in the starchy part of the plant. But large portions of the plant, like the leaves and the stem and the stalks, are composed of complex sugars, cellulose and hemicellulose, which are much more difficult to ferment. And the technology that's on the horizon now would allow you to ferment, to break those portions of the plant down from complex sugars, enzymatically break those down into simple sugars, and then ferment those simple sugars, thereby using a much larger percentage of the plant to produce ethanol. The second benefit of this process is that what's left behind, the portion of the plant that is not fermentable, is lignin, which is the structural kind of knot, the portion of the plant that can't be broken down, but it can be burned. So what that provides in the design of the cellulosic process is processing energy. So what cellulosic would do is provide its own energy for processing through the lignin of the feedstock. So you wouldn't require the same natural gas and coal inputs at that critical processing stage, and you'd have much, much improved greenhouse gas benefits as a result. So cellulosic opens up a whole range of possible feedstocks. It has the potential to provide a much greater yield of ethanol per acre, and the greenhouse gas benefits are hugely improved over corn because it provides its own process energy.
Do you think the public will be ready to accept cellulosic ethanol into their cars?
If we do ethanol right, I think that people will realize the benefits of it. If we do ethanol wrong, then there will be costs associated with it, which will certainly tarnish ethanol's public image. The challenge, obviously, will be to figure out how to do it right and what policies have to be in place to produce the feedstock without producing the negative side effects.
Dr. Marshall, thank you very much. This has been an Earth and Sky podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.